Please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Over the years, this has become one of those passages of Scripture that I seem to go back to time and time and time again. I find a great deal of comfort in what the Bible has to say and what the Lord Jesus has to say. John, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, was writing these things that he heard the Lord Jesus speak, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, to where I am. There you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Lord Jesus was going back to the Father. That's whither he was going. And the way was through him that others could go too. What a Savior. I want to preach this morning on this thought: let not your heart be troubled. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for being with us today. Lord, for manifesting yourself to us. Every song that's been sung has been an encouragement, a blessing. Brought glory unto thee. Now as we look into thy precious word, I pray today that we would hear from thee. Strengthen us through the word of God, thy blessed spirit. Lord, help us to serve thee and help us to be comforted by what you've shown us here. Help me as I stand to preach with the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would show yourselves to us in a mighty way. And today I pray that I would be hidden behind the cross and we would see Christ, who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. And I pray today for that one that may be here without Christ as their precious Savior. I pray that this would be the day they trust thee. Pray for those of us that are saved, maybe some discouraged, some, Lord, wandering aimlessly. I pray that today we'd be encouraged, find that way and live in your will. Lord, for all that's done, right now we're going to thank you and give you the glory for it. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We look at this and we see the setting of all that's going on. We realize that the Lord Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. And this, of course, is in a man's house, in a guest chamber inside the city. And the Lord on this night does some wonderful things and speaks some wonderful thoughts and gives some great instructions. We see in chapter number 13, as we lead up to this, we see the Lord Jesus down on his knees. Think about this. The Lord on this night bows down on his knees and washes the feet of the disciples. Think about it. The feet of men in the hands of God. What humility. What a Savior. God on his knees with man's feet in his hands. And after he washes the disciples' feet in chapter number 13, he says some things to them and it disturbs them, brings great distraught. They can't believe what they're hearing. You've heard me speak of this many, many times. I use this illustration quite a bit. And we see that he says in chapter number 13, verse 21 through 25, Jesus tells that one of his disciples is going to betray him. And of course, we now know that one is Judas, but he doesn't mention him by name here. And the disciples are always asking questions when you go to the other Gospels. They're trying to figure out, which one of us is it? And then in the following verses 36 through 38, Jesus tells that Peter, one of those intimate disciples Who do we always read about? Peter and James and John. These that walked with the Lord and was His closest disciples. Those that were there at the Transfiguration. Those that did great things. Peter who walked on the water with the Lord Jesus for a few steps. Jesus said, Peter, one of the leaders of the disciples, you're going to deny me. That was hard to hear, wasn't it? Think about what was being said. Think about all that was going on. And no doubt, these were so difficult. These words were so difficult for them to hear. Their hearts must have sunk within them when they heard this thing. And then he says, after he says all these things, after he's down on his knees and he washes the disciples' feet, and then he says, one of you is going to betray me, and Peter is going to deny me. And then the story continues, verse 14. Their hearts are broken, but he says, let not your heart be troubled. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I know you've heard some bad news, but here's the good news. You do not have to be troubled. It's all part of the way that it's supposed to be. And I want you to notice what he says and what he shows them that'll encourage them. Here's why they did not need to let their hearts be troubled. First of all, we see his passion. We see his passion. Let's read it together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Our Lord cared so much for these followers. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Then he reminds them of who he is, that he's God. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to realize that Jesus Christ is God. When we talk about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent, one with another. When you're talking about the Father, you're talking about God. When you're talking about the Son, you're talking about God. When you're talking about the Holy Ghost, you are talking about God. And then he reminds them of the reason that he came. The reason that he came was his passion. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, in verse number 3, the Bible says, to whom also he, talking about Christ, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When we see about this passion, we go back and we recall the events after the Last Supper and the crucifixion. He was there in the upper room and he said, some things are going to happen. Judas is going to betray me, and he betrayed him with a kiss. Peter's going to deny me, and he denied him 3 times. But all of this was leading up to Calvary. All of this was about Jesus Christ and the passion, the reason that he came. And Jesus Christ, God, robed himself in flesh and came into this world so that he could die the most cruel of all deaths so that you and I could live. His passion was you and me. His passion was that we could have life and have it more abundantly. His passion was that every sinner in the world could be forgiven of their sins and be redeemed back to God and have an eternal home in heaven. That's what his passion was. After his passion, he showed himself. After he did what he came to do, he showed himself. And he had told them many times what was going to happen. He told his disciples. He told the people, I've come to die. He told them, he said, tear down this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. They said, boy, this temple's been years in building. But the Bible says he spake not of this earthly temple, he spake of himself. You can just try to destroy it, but I want you to know. He was telling them, you can try to destroy me, but 3 days later I'm going to rise again. He told his disciples over and over again that he come that he might redeem the lost. That was what his passion was all about. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So you can't separate them. They're one. And he came to do the will of the Father. His passion was the will of the Father. His passion was to bring salvation to whosoever believeth. Think about it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, you're actually rejecting the greatest love that you'll ever know. You're rejecting the greatest gift that's ever been extended to you. So many people say, boy, somebody offered me a new car. I sure would like to have a new car. Somebody offered me a new house. I'd like to have that new house. Somebody offered me a big bank account. I sure would like to have that big bank account. But cars grow old. Houses get cracks, have leaks. Plumbing goes wrong. Electrical goes wrong. Bank accounts seem good at first, but something happens and they dwindle down and they go away. But when you get Jesus, you've got something that lasts forever. That's what His passion's all about. He says, I've come to give you something that'll never go away, that'll never corrupt. The rust will not destroy this. Its equity will never go down. Its value will never be lost. It's something that's everlasting. It's eternal. That's what His passion is. Let not your heart be troubled. I've come for this reason. I've come knowing that Judas would betray me. Knowing that Peter would deny me. I have come for this reason. That's what my passion is all about. I've come to bring something that nobody else could bring. I've come to bring eternal life. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus says. We see His passion. Then we see His preparation. This is great. Verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm going to die. It's my passion. But He said, I'm going away. Can you believe it? They've heard all this news. Lord Jesus, Judas is going to betray you. Peter's going to deny you, or one of us is going to betray you, and Peter's going to deny you, and now you're going away? Whew. But He made sure that He didn't leave a break in there. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, so many mansions, if we're not so, I would have told you. And He says, here's where I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to heaven. I'm getting it ready for you. I'm going back to the Father. I'm preparing a place for you. I don't understand all the joys and glories and beauties of heaven, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's going to be great. If in 6 days God could create a world like we have, with all the galaxies and the universe and the beauties that we see, the sun, the moon, the stars, sometimes I'm amazed when I think about God and His great ability. When I think as I see the sun, the moon, the stars and their rotation and the earth and its rotation and how it all works together, and I think about mankind and the DNA and how we're all made and the complexity of each and every one of us, and I think about the creation that He created in us, and I think about the beauty of the mountains and the trees and the oceans and the sand and all the glorious things that we see around us, and I realize what God did in 6 days. Just imagine what He's done. As He's prepared a place. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh yeah, I'm going away. But don't worry, I'm going for a purpose, and the purpose is to prepare a place for you. That's all right, isn't it? See, He came for me. He robed Himself in flesh for me. And now He's gone back to be with the Father for me. To prepare a place. It's just preparation. Well, we don't need to be too troubled. I can lose it all here. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll never lose what I have over there. He's taking care of it. I know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to see all these different things. And you know, I don't know right now that when we leave this world that we're going to see the walls of jasper, the street of gold, the gates of pearl, the different foundations and all that. I don't really know how it's going to be when we leave right now, but wherever Jesus is, it's going to be all right. And when this old body dies, if the Lord Jesus doesn't return, rapture us out of here, this old body's going to go back to the ground. And when it does, my soul, my spirit's going to instantly go and be with Him. Because I'll be absent from the body, but I'll be present with the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. And wherever He is, it's going to be wonderful. Amen? And that's what He's doing. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. We see that preparation. It's a city. There's a place. There's something that He's preparing for us. And the Bible says, I have not seen, nor have they heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that our Lord is preparing for us. In other words, as great, the most beautiful thing you've seen, it doesn't compare with over there. The most glorious music and wonderful things you've ever heard doesn't compare with what you're going to hear when you get over there. And the greatest dreams you've ever had in your heart, the things that you brought in your heart, I mean, I'm telling you, you can imagine the places that you've gone in your mind, in your heart. You can imagine the things that have happened in your life and just that feeling that your heart gets and it overflows. It doesn't compare with what He's going to prepare. You see His preparation. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, it's hard to hear. Betrayal? Denial? I'm going away? But Jesus said, it's going to be okay. Don't let your heart get troubled here. We see His passion. We see His preparation. Then we're going to see His promise. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So you can imagine all the things that they've heard. One's going to betray me. Peter's going to deny me. I'm going away. All these words were coming from His lips. No doubt His disciples were sinking. I mean, every time, you know, somebody's going to betray me. Oh, somebody's going to deny me. Oh, I'm going away. Oh, no. But He says, hang on, I'm coming back. That's exciting to me, because when He comes back, He's coming after me. I belong to Him and He belongs to me, not just for time on earth, but for all eternity. I want you to know there's a day when His promise will be true. Jesus said, I will come again. The angels said, they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go. The angel said, He's coming again. Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. Paul said, He is coming again. John said in the book of 1 John, that first epistle of John, behold, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. John says He is coming again. And then as we close out the blessed Word of God, in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 22 and verse number 20, Jesus Christ confirmed it one more time. He said, surely I come quickly. His promise is, He is coming again. Let not your heart be troubled. The world may be falling apart around you. Life may seem to be taking you under. It may seem like nothing is going right. But just when you think you can't handle it anymore, look out, because you're going to hear the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God's going to sound, and the Lord shall descend with a shout from heaven, and we shall be called up out of here. Oh, what a glorious time. That is His promise. We don't have to be troubled. We don't have to get so burdened down with the care. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because He's coming again. Why is He coming again? Well, look what the Bible says. I'll come again. Number one, to receive you unto myself. I'm coming to get you. I'm going to take you to be with me. Number two, because where I am, that's where I want you to be. That where I am,
There you may be also. Yeah, great. He says, I love you so much. I'm going away, but you got a job to do. You got to go out and tell the world about me. You got to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's going to be a day when I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'm going to take you, and we're going to be together forever. Amen. What a day. There's coming a day when no heartaches will come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that'll be. And there'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain. No more parting over there. And forever, we're going to be with the one who died for me. What a day. Glorious day that's going to be. That's His promise. He's coming again. That's His promise. He says, I'll not leave you comfortless. He's given us the Holy Spirit, but there's going to be a day when He comes and we're going to be with Him. And then we see His plan. The Bible says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas says, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I've got a plan. I am the plan. I'm the way. How can we know the way? Thomas said. Well, Jesus said, but you know me, you know the way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. You know what he said? There's only one way to go to heaven. You can try every avenue you want, but dear friends, there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man, no human being can come to the Father but by me. Christ must live in our hearts by faith. He must be our Savior by faith. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Listen to this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. When Christ dwells in your hearts by faith, you can know the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of God. Let not your heart be troubled. It may seem bad, but when you have Christ living in you, Christ can help you to understand through His love and through His mercy and through His grace. When He doesn't live in our hearts, we can't understand a lot of things. But boy, when He does, He's going to give us something that passes all understanding. It's beyond the knowledge of this world. And people that aren't in the family of God, they just can't understand how we can make it. But His plan was that He was going to make a way. And that way was Him dying on the cross of Calvary, being buried, rising again the third day. And whosoever believeth in Him, when Christ lives in our hearts, we're going to be able to understand things that the world will never understand. When it seems like everything is falling apart around us, instead of looking down, we start looking up. Because we know Jesus is still on the throne and all will be well. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ in your life? If you were to die today, do you know that heaven would be your home? Have you let the troubles of this world just get you so burdened down and so bogged down? Look, Jesus said, don't get troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's a day that you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're living for Him. You're doing His will with your life. Then you don't have to be troubled. You know He's going to take care of it all. When the bank account goes dry, if you're living for Him and doing what He wants you to do, I can promise you He'll provide those needs. I can promise you that. When you think that the pressure's too much and it's pushing down and pushing down and pushing down, I promise you, He'll never put on you more than you can bear. He'll get up under you and bear the load, and you can cast all your care on Him. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because of His passion. Because of His preparation. Because of His promise. And because of His plan. His passion was to die for you. His preparation was to go to prepare a place for you. His promise was that He would come again for you. And His plan was the way that you can go to Him is through, to the Father is through Him and what He's done for you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Before we pray, I want to ask you just a few questions. Let's be as sincere as we can be. God already knows your heart, and I want you to be tender to the Spirit of God. If you're here and you say, preacher, there's been a day in my life. I'm not perfect. I'm not proclaiming to be perfect. But I can assure you there's been a day in my life where by faith I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I asked Him to come to live in me. I asked Him by faith. I believe what He did on the cross of Calvary. And I put my faith in what He did on the cross of Calvary. Because of that, while I'm not perfect, I know I'm saved and I know that heaven will be my home. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. Why don't you be honest right now? If you say, preacher, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, would you lift your hand as a testimony? I know I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you so much for that. I want to thank those of you that did not raise your hands. Your honesty is it's wonderful. Because when you come to the place where you're willing to admit a need, then you can do something about that. Right now, let's take it a step further. You say, preacher, I didn't lift my hand that I'm saved. And if I were to die right now, I don't have the peace in my heart that I'd go to heaven and I wouldn't be with Jesus. There's never been a day in my life where I trusted Him. And I care enough about my soul that I'd at least admit to you, with heads bowed, eyes are closed, I'll admit to you, preacher, and admit before God that I'm concerned about my soul and I'm not saved. I've never put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I want you to pray for me. We won't drag you down the aisle, I promise you that. But right now, would you lift your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I didn't lift my hand just a moment ago. But right now, I want to lift my hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Would there be one? God bless you. Would there be another this morning? Pray for me, preacher. I didn't lift my hand, but I know I don't want to die without Jesus. I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would there be another one? How many of us lifted our hands just a moment ago? We know we're saved. We know that heaven's going to be our home. But we've let things trouble us to the point of almost despair. Paul said we can be perplexed, but we should never be in despair. But how many would be honest enough to say, preacher, I've just about let the pressures of this world get me down. And I feel like I'm folding under the pressure. And I'm going to admit that today. Let's be honest. Would you raise your hand? That's me. I'm saved, but boy, I'm letting it. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you, and you. God bless you. Several hands. Others. Would there be others? Let's be honest. I feel like I'm just giving in. Or I'm letting the world burden me so much. Pray for me, preacher. Would there be another one? Just a moment. Why don't we make our way down here, especially those of us, raise your hands that we're letting these things burden us. Why don't we come and say, Lord, I want to put my faith in what you promised, that you're taking care of everything. And I can rest in you before it gets too bad. I know you're going to come. But if you leave me here, I know you're going to take care of me. Let's just claim his promises. If you're here and you raise your hand, you're not sure you're saved, why don't you come? Let's get this thing settled. Get right. Go on for God. Father, please have your way. May we be obedient in this time of invitation. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to